Right, 17 minutes past eight. Let's continue the North Korea, Vietnam, US show, whichever one of those appeals to you most, perhaps all of them at one go. Donald Trump, US president, has been very much the focus, but so has Chairman Kim Jong-un, with a lot of people assessing whether he's ready to follow the doi moi model of Vietnam. We'll continue to look at various aspects of this. For now, though, let's catch up with Andrew Jung of the Wall Street Journal on the line for us in Vietnam, in the capital of Hanoi. Good morning to you.
Morning, Alex.
Must have been a bit of a late night for you as you digested what we managed to see through all those cameras yesterday.
Yes. So it's been really fun so far.
I bet it is. And compared with Singapore, we were reflecting on this earlier, the comparison in the atmosphere, that there's a general feeling like people are a bit more comfortable with what's going on in Hanoi, having already seen those groundbreaking moments in 2018.
Yes. I mean, the Vietnamese locals here in Hanoi, I mean, they have been very cooperative. I think the mood here is a little bit festive. Again, you know, there is the usual load of security every time, you know, for example, when a convoy passes down the streets, security forces are, you know, very strict about passersby and pedestrians not going over a certain line. So, you know, there is some level of security. But at the same time, you know, people are genuinely, you know, interested and curious, and they are entertained, I guess, by the general atmosphere. So there is a mood of festivities. In a way, you know, there are some tourists from Korea and some Western countries like Australia and the U.S. And I've noticed some of them expressing, you know, wow, I just timed my vacation to Hanoi perfectly, because they probably didn't expect to, I guess, for their trip to coincide with the summit. So again, there is some mood of festivities going on here in Hanoi.
Indeed. Now, if we look at the inside of the summit, though, and come back to the comments that Chairman Kim and President Trump shared through translators in front of the media. They then obviously went on to have a private chat and then this so-called social dinner with senior officials alongside them. That was more about setting the tone than actually making any substantive progress, right?
Yes, I agree with that kind of a view. The two leaders did have a one-on-one. They briefly allowed in the pool reporters, some from the White House, some actually from the North Korean state media. There were about 8 to 10 of them, I believe. Some of them photographers, cameramen. We're not sure if they included 10 reporters for the North Korean side, but a brief glimpse into what they're thinking is. I mean, if you look at the video recordings of how they interacted in that brief moment when they allowed in the reporters, you can notice a very confident Kim Jong-un. And he was in his hotel for hours before that meeting. I mean, I think the people here were interpreting that as Kim Jong-un really doing his homework before he met with President Trump.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, he seemed confident. But again, as you said, it was more about setting the tone. There hasn't yet been a concrete or tangible or final kind of agreement yet. That will be ironed out today. We'll see in a few hours what the two men come up with. But, you know, there have been, that has been more of a tone setting moment.
But when we look at the actual tone itself that was set, it seemed to me that President Trump was really trying to get things off to a good start with some very complimentary statements in front of Chairman Kim. He talked about the economic potential. He talked about their really strong relationship, for example. But when Chairman Kim had his turn to speak before that, he'd spoken of the painstaking efforts that had been made over the last few months. He actually seemed to be a bit more realistic about things. He said he would do his best over the next couple of days, but he wasn't exactly making any promises.
No, not at all. And it was a brief comment compared to what President Trump said. But he did, I mean, I think, again, you know, he was in his hotel for hours compared to Singapore, you know, because in Singapore, the North Korean leader, you know, he was busy making a stroll. You know, there was a lot of, you know, I guess, eyes watching where Kim Jong-un would go this time. But instead, you know, he was mostly in his hotel. He did not go out for another random stroll. He was focused on his negotiations, is the impression that I got. And, you know, Kim Jong-un, he was very confident, and he seemed to be taking this very seriously. But at the same time, you know, there are moments when he laughs and he smiles, and he obviously you can, I guess you can understand that Kim Jong-un is understanding the English that President Trump is saying, despite the interpretation going on and the translation going on. But, you know, Kim Jong-un is confident. He understands the situation. His comments are carefully prepared. But as you said, he's not making any promises. So he has a good understanding. But at the same time, I think he's very confident about what he can do.
I want to address something we've got out of North Korea's state-run media, which may be a further indication for us, as we didn't hear a huge amount from Chairman Kim, as you mentioned before. This is a statement then from KCNA. They exchange serious and in-depth opinions to produce comprehensive and epochal results from the meeting that could live up to the attention expectations that the world is holding for the success of the summit. I guess we could translate that as kind of denuclearization.
I'm sure the topic was discussed. The dinner was attended by, you know, President Trump, Mike Pompeo, Mick Mulvaney, and then the North Korean side, you know, Kim Jong-un, Lee Jong-ho. So, you know, the top guns were there, and denuclearization is again the top goal of the U.S. side. It's unclear whether that's the same case for the North Koreans, but, you know, I think the KCNA, if you read it through it, it does imply that denuclearization was discussed. The sanctions were discussed. Remember, you have to note that the U.S. and North Koreans have been negotiating these kind of points for days before the two leaders have arrived. And my understanding is that two sides have not yet reached a very, conclusive optional deal even. So, like, the working level discussions here have not reached a point where they can present the leaders with options A, B, and C. It's more like two sides appear to be, you know, continuing discussions. There seem to be a large disagreement still, and they're waiting for the leaders to take action to give these working level negotiators some sort of direction on how to continue the negotiations. So I think the KCNA statement touches on the fact that two leaders have to really make, you know, large decisions in the upcoming hours.
Briefly, we've also seen in North Korea's state-run media this week praise for Vietnam's economic model. And a few days ago, you actually wrote yourself an article on how Kim Jong-un has been purging wealthy elite and critics of outreach to the U.S. Those things do seem to express a genuine desire by North Korea to do something, if I can risk sounding naive.
Well, it's, again, you know, everything about North Korea is murky. Exactly what their intentions are is debatable. But I think there is some sort of, there are a few signs here and there showing that the North Koreans are willing to deal. You know, why and how they're trying to deal is another debate. But I agree with the notion that they are genuinely trying to deal. Now, as far as how much they want to give up in terms of denuclearization in order to deal is the big question,
right,
that we'll, you know, get some hints to in a few hours. But, you know, I do agree with the assertion that they're willing to deal, and they're willing to sacrifice some of their, at least some of their nuclear facilities, etc. So
they're not just toying with the U.S. potentially then. Andrew Jiang of the Wall Street Journal, we've got to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Let's catch up with the latest traffic news with Chang Hae-won.